my Savior and Lord. You do I trust and adore. I long now to serve you. I'll never deserve you, Jesus, my Savior and Lord. Jesus, my Master and King, honor and praises I sing. Search me and know me, try me and show me, Jesus, my Savior and King. To die, giver, creator of life, keep and deliver me, Lord, draw me near to thee, Jesus, most high El Shaddai. Jesus, my Savior and Lord, you do I will trust and adore. I long now to serve you, I'll never deserve you, Jesus, my Savior and Lord. Jesus, my Savior and Lord.
Turn your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 41, and we will see just one chapter this evening since we have our business meeting afterwards, and we're looking at Pharaoh's dream. And as we look at Pharaoh's dream this evening, we're going to see the dream conceived, the dream clarified, and then, of course, Joseph was teased by his brothers and called the dreamer, and then they consult him to help with the dream. And then the famine or dearth that comes to the land as a result of the dream that Pharaoh had. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your leadership of your people and the way that you directed the life of Joseph and had him at the right place at the right time to meet the needs of your people. And Lord, we thank you that nothing ever catches you by surprise. Father, we thank you that we can look into your word tonight. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts through your word and draw us closer to you. Help us to make applications to our lives that we need to make as your Holy Spirit speaks to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look, first of all, at the dream conceived, in the first eight verses, it tells us about Pharaoh having a dream. It says, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Then it goes on to tell us the dream that he had. And the first part of the dream, it tells us that he dreamed, and there were seven well-favored kine, or cattle, and then there were seven that were ill-favored. And those that were well-favored, they were very good, and those that were not, they were very ill, looking like about to die. And then he goes on and there's another dream. He has a dream about the corn. And the corn, it says there were seven stalks that were rank and good, that is of good rank, quality corn. And then there were some corn that was blasted with the east wind and it was good for nothing. It was not edible there. And after these two dreams, or one dream in which he saw these two things, It tells us in verse 8, "It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men. Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh." And so he has this dream. He doesn't know what it means. And God oftentimes spoke to people, whether saved or unsaved, believers or unbelievers. He spoke to them through dreams. And he has his dream, and he knows it has some kind of meaning, but he doesn't know what it means. And he calls out the magicians, and they don't know. The wise men, and they don't know. And he's looking for someone who can interpret this dream. Well, remember the butler, whenever he was in prison with Joseph, and Joseph said, "Whenever you get restored to the kingdom and you're serving Pharaoh as his butler again, remember me." Well, it was now, finally, the butler does remember. And he apologizes in verse 9. He says, "The chief butler spake to Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day." And so he goes on to tell Pharaoh about the time that he was in prison and he and the baker had dreams. And there was a young Hebrew, verse 12, a young man, a Hebrew servant. Remember that Joseph was 17 years old whenever he was sold into slavery. And the butler says, "We had dreams and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to the dream." He did interpret. The butler said that my dream said I was going to be restored to being butler in 3 days, and here I am. And the dream of the baker was that in 3 days, his head was going to be removed from his body. And that happened as well. And so now there's someone who can interpret the dream. And so now we see Joseph going before Pharaoh in verse 14. Pharaoh sent, and he called Joseph, and they brought him in hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself and changed his raiment, and came to Pharaoh there. And so we see that as he goes before the king, as the custom was, they're not going to go in the presence of a king coming out of the dungeon without being cleanly shaven and having nice clothes on. They're because they're making appearance before the king. And of course, with our spiritual applications for us, whenever we go to heaven, we're going to be in the presence of the King of Kings. And we're not going in the clothes that we have, because the Bible says that all of the righteousness that we have, they're like filthy rags. And we cannot appear before God in that condition. So there has to be a change. And so whenever we get saved, God puts on us the righteousness of Christ, the robes of righteousness there. And so we are able to stand before the Lord in the righteousness of Christ. Well, then Pharaoh begins to declare the dream to Joseph there. He said in verse 15, Pharaoh said, "I've dreamed a dream. There's none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." And so now here's an opportunity for Joseph to advance himself and to show that he's smarter and more clever than all the wise men and all the magicians that he has. And here's an opportunity for him to kind of pat himself on the back and take credit. But that's not the Joseph we've come to know throughout this book, is it? In verse 16, Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace there. And so we see that Joseph gives credit to God. The way he was able to interpret the dream of the butler and the baker, it wasn't because Joseph could see into the future, but God can. And God revealed it to Joseph. Then we come down to verse 25, and we see the application of the dream. Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do." Can you imagine? Why didn't God show it to Joseph? Well, he's going to use Joseph. God showed what he was going to do to an unsaved king here. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. And this dream that Pharaoh had, it was from the Spirit of God. But he couldn't understand it. He needed someone to show him, sort of like the Ethiopian eunuch to Philip in the book of Acts. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless some man show me?" And so here's Joseph, a man in whom the Spirit of God dwells, and he's going to help Pharaoh understand what God is about to do. He says, God has showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. Don't you know that God does that? He does that in the Scriptures. He tells us some of the things that he's going to do in the future. We don't know everything God's going to do, and that's probably a good thing, isn't it? But God has revealed to us some of the things he's going to do. And so he goes on to tell Pharaoh in verses 27 and following, 26, the seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And then he goes on to say that the good corn and the good cows represent 7 years of plenty, and then the ill-favored kind and the seven ears of corn that were bad represent 7 years of famine. Verse 29, he says, behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And verse 31 says, it shall be very grievous. Joseph said, Pharaoh, God has shown you what's going to happen. There's going to be 7 years of plenty of food, and then there's going to be 7 years of nothing. So what are you going to do about it? God reveals the future to all mankind. He uses us to teach them. There's going to come a day when man dies, and the future is there. And man can either go to heaven or go to hell. And so he knows that one day he's going to stand before God and he has to answer the question, what are you going to do about it? And so Joseph is here presenting this to Pharaoh. And verse 33, Joseph gives the counsel to Pharaoh. He says, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt there. And so we've got to have a plan. And so as he's consulting the dreamer, Joseph, he says, you need somebody who has some integrity. You need somebody who has some wisdom. You need somebody who has some backbone there. It's going to require someone of special character here to do the job that's before them. And, of course, Joseph is that man of character. Verse 33 says, now look out a man that's discreet and wise. 34, let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land, take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. That, of course, is 20%. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine. You know, if they would have had the attitude of, boy, we've got plenty, let's eat and drink and be merry, and, you know, we've got plenty, and they didn't lay it aside, they would have really messed up. So you needed somebody with character, somebody with self-discipline, somebody in whom the Spirit of God is, and that's what we see in verse 38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And so we can look at all the characteristics of Joseph, and we can see how he fled temptation and how he was a man of integrity and honest, and many qualities we can see. But all of those qualities stem from this one thing, doesn't it? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. And if a person allows the Holy Spirit of God to control his life. The New Testament calls that the Spirit-filled life. If we are walking in the Spirit and led of the Spirit, then all the other godly qualities that come that were in Joseph will be in us as well. And here's Joseph, a man that the Holy Spirit is guiding him. Verse 38, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand. He put it upon Joseph's hand. The ring, of course, was the authority, the signet that was there. And he arrayed him in vestures in fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. How different is Joseph now from when he was in the prison? No ring, no fine linen, gold chain about his neck, maybe some other chains and fetters binding him there in prison there. But God is using Joseph, and Pharaoh is recognizing, and he says, "There is none so discreet and wise as thou." And even though he was an ungodly king, notice in verse 39, it says, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there's none so discreet." So he recognized that it wasn't because of Joseph being a very young man that God was the one who had this knowledge about the future. God was the one who knew about the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine. And Joseph is now having opportunity to be a wonderful testimony to Pharaoh. And so verse 43 says, "He made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, 'Bow the knee.' He made him ruler over all the land of Egypt." Remember the dreams that Joseph had where the sun, moon, and stars would bow before him, and his brother's stalks of grain would bow to his. And so now all of that is coming to pass. People are bowing before him there. And beginning in verse 46, we see the conservation of food. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So this is 13 years later. He's been away from his family, sold into slavery, been in prison, been accused by Potiphar's wife. He's been through a lot. And now he's second in command over all of Egypt. Verse 47, "And in the seven plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and he laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city, he laid it up the same." And he gathered all of that there. And so now he has all the food stored up. He has done what he advised Pharaoh they needed to do, 20%, put it aside. We're saving it for not a rainy day. We're saving it for 7 years of famine there. And so here comes the famine. The dearth is coming. Well, Joseph here, being 30 years old, it tells us now he is married. Verse 50, "Unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar's priest of On, bare to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh." Remember, we looked at these names earlier, and Manasseh means forgotten, because verse 51 says, "God said, he hath made me forget all my toil in my father's house." And so he was able to put all that behind him, all the toil and the way that his brothers had mistreated him and all those things that happened to him. He was able to put it behind him. Only God can do that and help us to do that kind of moving forward. Verse 52, "And the name of the second he called Ephraim." And we saw Ephraim this morning in the book of Jeremiah as well. He says, "For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." And so he named one son forgotten, and he named the other one fruitful there. And now God has made Joseph fruitful. After being sold into slavery, and even his sons are born now right before the famine comes, but he sees the fruitfulness that God has given to him. Then in verse 53, we see the controlling of the food. And the 7 years of plenteousness, which was in the land of Egypt, were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. They went to the head, you know, go to number one, go to the top there. And notice what he said to them in verse 55. Pharaoh said to the Egyptians, go to Joseph, and what he saith to you, do. Remember, several times I've told you that Joseph is a type of Christ, and we see a lot of the characteristics of Christ in Joseph. Remember at the wedding, whenever they were with, they were out of wine, and they come to the mother of Jesus, and what does she do? What does she say? She said, you go to Jesus, and whatsoever he tells you, do. Well, that's what Pharaoh said about Joseph here in verse 55. And having gone through the life that he had, and now everyone in all the other lands are coming to him. He's in charge. Verse 56, the famine was over all the face of the earth. Joseph opened up all the storehouses, and he sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. Verse 57 finishes the chapter. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was so sore in all lands. And think about what God had done in the life of Joseph 13 years before that, or even now 20 years, because the 7 years is being ended. God placed him in Egypt. So when you see that phrase in verse 57, and all countries came into Egypt to Joseph, the only reason that Joseph was there in Egypt to meet their needs was because God placed him there. And God knew what they were going to need, and God took care of it many years before. He had a plan for Joseph. He had a plan for Egypt. He had a plan for the famine. And God has a plan for us. He cares for us, even as he cared for his people there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your watch care, for your provision. Thank you for the life of Joseph. We look forward to seeing more in his life as we continue in the book of Genesis. Lord, we thank you that you know the future. You know what we need. And even years before we realize what we need, you are already working behind the scenes to provide for that. And we thank you for being omniscient and for being omnipotent and for being loving to us as your people. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.